All right. Well, the Donald Trump presidency and him making promises that through him and his administration that they are going to bring a wrecking ball through all kinds of sectors of the world. We're talking about a wrecking ball through immigration policies, through the abortion crisis, through all the way even into what we eat through the FDA, and a wrecking ball through pharmaceutical industry, and so on and so forth. Do we actually think that there is not going to be major ramifications to this, major consequences as far as literally, if I were to put this in an analogy, this man is literally grabbing the hornet's nest and shaking it violently. And the hornets are beginning to scurry. And they're ready to sting. Well, today, on tonight's podcast, we're going to talk about how global leaders are responding to the news, to the presidency that has now been clinched by Donald Trump. And we're going to show you some things that are in motion that him and his administration is already saying that they are going to implement and that they're going to advance. And we can only wonder how the world will react. What is going to be the consequences to this? What are we looking at in the next 4 years? And is there prophetic implications to what could be ahead in the future? We're going to cover all that tonight. So buckle up. Let's go.
The following program is brought to you by friends and partners of End Time Headlines.
All right, what's going on, guys? It is Friday night, November 8th, 2024. We want to welcome you to the broadcast. Everybody on Apple, Spotify, wherever you get your podcast from, and of course, you guys right here on YouTube and Rumble, watching live or by the rebroadcast of this. We welcome you. We always appreciate you taking the time out on every night, especially on Friday nights. You could be doing all kinds of other things that you could be doing, but you're tuning in, and we really appreciate that. And guys, you can help us out by hitting that like button. That's going to get other eyes on this program and our ministry as well, and it helps us get that out there on these algorithms so people can like look at this and like our content as well and get value from it. If you guys are listening by Spotify, Apple, wherever you get your podcast, you can help us out by giving us a good review as well. If you love our content, we thank you and we appreciate you guys for doing that. Listen, if you didn't listen to our 2 p.m. Eastern podcast today, let me give you a little bit of a cliff notes because this is kind of what the springboard, I guess you could say today at 2 p.m. was our appetizer before the main course. Let me give you a little bit, again, some cliff notes on this. It's only like a 25-minute podcast we did today, so I'd love for you guys to go back and watch that. If you didn't catch that today, go back and watch the rebroadcast of this. And in that podcast, I talked about how it is uncomfortably quiet. What am I talking about? Since President Donald Trump has been successful in winning the presidency, remember all of the, now maybe you didn't realize this, maybe you didn't hear about this, maybe you didn't notice it, maybe you didn't see it or read it on the mainstream media and so on and so forth, because I realized that because of what I do, I'm always reading articles, watching news clips, seeing all these things going on. And there were so many threats that came out from the left of there was going to be, I mean, even the DOJ, the FBI, the CIA, intelligence, all of them anticipated widespread civil unrest in cities across America. For goodness sake, they even erected fences and barriers and barricades in multiple cities. They dispatched the National Guard. And consequently, Kamala Harris got up and she conceded, and it was weird. Maybe it just me, but it was weird. It was too quiet. And it was almost like it was zombie-like. There was no emotion to it, robotic. Now, we would expect that from Biden, but even from her, it was just very, just like, I don't know, lifeless. And it's been quiet. No disruption, no civil unrest, no looting, no rioting. Now, of course, the left-wing liberal lunatics, we knew they were going to lose their mind. Harvard University closed down or shut down classes so that people could cope with the loss of their candidate. And of course, the liberal women, they're going to show Donald Trump who's boss and how they're doing it. They're going to abstain from sex while he's president, and they're going to shave their heads. They're going to shave their heads. You know, it reminds me of the in the New Testament. Did you know this? If you didn't know this, you'll learn something today. That in Paul's day, there was what was called temple prostitutes. They would actually shave their heads, and many times they would cover their heads so that they could kind of infiltrate into the churches. And this is why in the New Testament, Paul, many times he talked about a woman shouldn't keep her head covered when she's praying, because it made a distinction. It would distinguish between the temple prostitutes and those women of God that were there to seek the Lord. So again, it's the same spirit, guys. It's this Antichrist spirit. It's been here from day one. It was around in John's day. He said there were many Antichrist, plural tense. He's talking about the Antichrist spirit. And again, we've said this. It will eventually, it will pave the way and make the way for the Antichrist. So you got all this going on. But so we covered that on our 2 p.m. podcast. We talked about the weird story about the monkeys. You know, out of 50 monkeys, 47 of them escaped because some dummy left the door wide open to a research facility. I mean, you know, that's so normal and all. And seven of the monkeys decided to stay in, but 47 of them, as of the recording of this podcast, are still loose. And again, they were at a research facility. And we talked about how, you know, we've got at least 2 months until January 20th, where Trump will be officially sworn in. And guys, a lot can happen in 2 months. A lot can happen in 2 months. This is why we said you need to be paying attention to what's going on and be in prayer. Because, and I'm going to show you today, we're going to show you some articles today. We're going to show you some reactions to world leaders, good and bad. You realize that if a war was to break out between now and January 20th, it would change the trajectory of the elections. You realize that Biden would stay in office, right? And this whole administration, Kamala Harris and Biden, obviously it would be Kamala Harris because Biden is not mentally capable of leading our country. Never was, never has. And to this day, it's a mystery of who was actually running our country and who's running our country now and who will be running our country for the next 2 months. It all remains a mystery. But let's get into some of these stories. Very, very interesting stories. I want to show you this. Look at this headline. Putin wants a, quote, new world order and invites Iranian president to Moscow. You heard that correctly. You listening on podcasts. Vladimir Putin of Russia is wanting a new world order. He is laying out the red carpet, the welcome mat for Iranian president to come into Moscow. All right, according to Newsweek, Russian President Vladimir Putin said this week that he wants to create a new world order and again has invited the president of Iran to Moscow. Putin held a meeting with Iran's president on Friday. That's today, a significant encounter given Tehran's ongoing role in supplying weapons to bolster Russia's war efforts in Ukraine. The summit also took place against a backdrop of mounting tensions between Israel and Iran, along with the concerns about escalating confrontations between Iran and its militant proxies. Putin, an Iranian president, held talks on the sidelines of an international forum in Turkmenistan, where they discussed ongoing developments in the Middle East, according to Russian state media. Following Russia's 2022 invasion of Ukraine, Moscow and Tehran linked a $1.7 billion agreement for Iran to supply drones to bolster Russia's military efforts. U.S. officials also believe that Iran has transferred short-range ballistic missiles to Russia as part of their growing defense cooperation. This week, the MI5 chief, Ken Malcolm, accused both Russia and Iran of, quote, staggering increase in assassination attempts, sabotage, and other criminal activities within the United Kingdom. McCollum revealed that since 2022, British intelligence and police have thwarted at least 20 potentially lethal plots linked to Iran. And we're going to talk about one of those today that has just come over the wire that was a lethal plot against President Trump. He also warned that if tensions in the Middle East escalate, Iran, quote, may expand its targets in the United Kingdom. During the meeting, Putin remarked that Russia and Tehran frequently share similar, look at this, views on global affairs. Guys, this is literally the makings of Ezekiel 38:39. According to Russian state news agency TASS, how do you pronounce that, Putin extended an invitation to visit Russia, the Iranian president accepted. In a video provided by the Kremlin, Putin called for the formation of a, quote, new world order made up of Moscow's allies to challenge Western influence. All right, the forum has drawn several regional leaders, including Pakistan's president, along with the heads of Central Asian nations. And here there's about four of them mentioned in this article. Putin is also scheduled to meet with Turkmenistan's president for a bilateral talks during the forum. And again, if you're just hopping on here on the chat, the President Vladimir Putin of Russia is desiring a new world order and is in talks with the President of Iran in Russia. And guys, again, this has all the earmarks of a coming prophetic confederacy that we read about in Ezekiel 38, where in which these two nations will be involved in invading Israel. Now, here's another report. Putin says that Ukraine must remain neutral for there to be peace. President Vladimir Putin stated this week that Ukraine should remain neutral for there to be a chance for peace, adding that the borders of Ukraine should be in accordance with the wishes of the people living in Russian claimed territory. Quote, if there is no neutrality, it is difficult to imagine the existence of any good neighborly relations between Russia and Ukraine. Putin said that Russia had recognized Ukraine's post-Soviet borders based on the understanding that it would be neutral. The U.S.-led NATO military alliance has repeatedly said that Ukraine would one day join. If Ukraine was not neutral, it would be, quote, constantly used as a tool in the wrong hands and not to the detriment of the interest of the Russian Federation. This is according to Vladimir Putin. Russia controls about a fifth of Ukraine after more than 2.5 years of war. Can you believe that, guys? They've been in war for 2.5 years. Ukraine also interjected and said, quote, we are determined to create conditions for long-term settlement so that Ukraine is an independent sovereign state and not an instrument in the hands of third countries and not used in their interests. Or excuse me, this was Putin that said this, not Zelensky, so I want to bring that correction there. Asked about the future borders of Ukraine, Putin said, quote, the borders of Ukraine should be in accordance with the sovereign decisions of people who live in certain territories in which we call our historical territories. Meanwhile, we move to China. Now again, all of this is happening, guys, since Trump took office. Xi Jinping, the leader of China, warns Trump U.S. would lose from confrontation with China as renewed trade war looms. Chinese President Xi called President-elect Trump to congratulate him on his election win and, quote, warned that the U.S. would gain from cooperation and lose from confrontation with China. Let me say that again. I got a little tongue-tied there. President Xi called up Donald Trump to congratulate him on his win and warned that the U.S. would gain from cooperation with China, but they would lose from confrontation with China. The message comes as the Chinese Communist Party must prepare for deeper tensions as Trump has, quote, vowed to bring back the trade war of his last presidency with blanket tariffs. Quote, Xi Jinping noted that history tells us that both countries stand to gain from cooperation and lose from confrontation. A China-U.S. relationship with stable, healthy, and sustainable development serves the common interests of the two countries. China's foreign ministry said in a readabout of the conversation, quote, it is hoped that the two sides will, in the principles of mutual respect, peaceful coexistence, and win cooperation, enhance dialogue and communication, properly manage differences, expand mutually beneficial cooperation, and find the right way for China and the U.S. to get along with each other in the new era. Notice these terms, in the new era, to the benefit of the two countries and the world. Guys, let me know your thoughts on this. What is your thoughts on Putin making the statement that it's time for a new world order with his alliance with Iran? Do you agree that this is the markings, the earmarks, the stepping stones leading us into Bible prophecy? Love to hear your thoughts in the comment. Also, what do you think is going to happen with China and with the United States now that President Trump is in office? Now, I do want to remind you that even Elon Musk, who threw his weight and support behind Donald Trump, endorsed him, was on the platform with him. Even Elon Musk came out and said, I don't know if y'all caught this, but days before the election, he said if Trump was to win the election, that we could see a temporary economic collapse as a result of this. I don't know if you guys saw that, but he stated this. And he basically, to give you the cliff notes of this, he said the reason for this is because of the trade wars, the tariffs, and the policies that Trump will implement to stop being being a floor mat for all of these other countries, and because you've got trade wars, you've got oil wars, you got all these conflicts and everything going on. And because of the stance that Trump will take in the beginning, initially, it could cause an impact. But he said long-term wise, it will make America independent again. It'll make us oil independent. It will make us not depend on China for all of the, for example, the pharmaceuticals. Do you know most of our pharmaceuticals, our medicines and stuff like that comes from China? Even the components of technology, your phones that you're using, all this stuff. Even Apple understood this. They understood, even Apple, who they came under a lot of scrutiny recently because they realized once the pandemic hit, they realized that they were basically a slave to China because all their factories were in China. And when China was shutting down all of those factories, of course, Apple took a massive blow to that. So Apple... Cook realized that we're going to have to pull out of China. We're going to have to put this somewhere else because, you know, if we rely on China to keep this afloat, this could cause big problems. So there's a lot of issues there and conflicts with that. And then Taiwan is a major developer or manufacturer of these chips that you find in a lot of things that we use, even in our vehicles and a lot of equipment and a lot of things that I'm not even thinking of right now, but everyday usage that we use, these semiconductor chips that are used in all these, again, all of these components and these equipment. So this is a big thing. And again, we'd love to hear your thoughts on this. Now let's go back to Ukraine. Trump's victory. Look at this headline. Quote, Trump's victory could mean U.S. withdrawal support from Ukraine in its war with Russia. Oh, no. You mean we won't be funneling out billions more dollars to this war? With the re-election of Donald Trump, Ukraine may soon have to adjust to a dramatic reduction. Look at this. Dramatic reduction, guys, in U.S. support that could have a decisive impact on the war with Russia. Again, love to hear your thoughts on that. Should we continue to funnel money to Ukraine to, quote unquote, keep them afloat in this war with Russia, or should we cut them off and disperse that money to our own here in America? Of course, Ukraine responded with its commander-in-chief in a statement stated on Telegram that the situation on the front line, quote, remains difficult and that certain areas require constant renewal of resources of Ukrainian units. Meanwhile, Russia is understood to be bolstering its manpower with North Korean forces, as many as, again, 10,000 North Korean troops there in the Kursk region. Now, here it is right here in print, guys, in case you were wondering. In case you're wondering how much money is actually being put over there, under the Biden administration, the U.S. has provided tens of billions of dollars in aid to Ukraine, including FEMA resources. You know, the money that should have been used for the victims of Hurricane Helene that struck in the Appalachians. I want to read on here. Zelensky congratulated Trump on Wednesday and said he appreciates Trump's commitment to, quote, peace through strength. We look forward to an era of a strong U.S. of America under President Trump's decisive leadership. We rely on continued strong bipartisan support for Ukraine and the U.S. Zelensky wrote in a social media post that, quote, we are interested in developing mutually beneficial political and economic cooperation. There he goes. He's already got that handout. Already expecting, just because the presidents have exchanged offices doesn't mean the money can't keep coming. Come on, I need some more money. I need that handout. And it would be, quote, benefit to both of our nations. Now, of course, Trump said if he was in office, the war would have never started in the first place. And he vowed to end the war, sometimes even claiming he would stop the years-long conflict before even taking office. So if that's, well, let's see what happens. We got 2 months until he's sworn in on January 20th. All right, then let's go to the Middle East. We're going to shift gears, go to the Middle East. Look at this headline from Israel 365 News. Quote, Hezbollah targets Trump Heights, Netanyahu shakes up Israeli defense leadership, and Hamas challenges Trump's pledge. All right, let's read this. Hezbollah launched rockets towards Trump Heights in Israel's Golan Heights on this past Wednesday following Donald Trump's victory speech in Florida after the U.S. presidential election. Again, according to this report, Hezbollah launched rockets towards Trump Heights in Israel's Golan Heights. Again, this was shortly after Trump's election win. Meanwhile, Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu announced the dismissal of Defense Minister Yoav Gallant, Yoav Gallant, on Tuesday, appointing Foreign Minister Israel Katz to the position. The announcement came as the U.S. concluded Election Day voting, dominating global headlines. Netanyahu also revealed that Gideon Saar would succeed Katz as Foreign Minister. So you have this entire, Netanyahu's entire cabinet was shaken up. Following the dismissal, opposition leader Yair Lapid criticized the decision as, quote, madness, sparking protest in Tel Aviv and Jerusalem. And then you had this. This was very interesting. Hamas calls for, quote, immediate end to war after the election of Donald Trump. Look at this, quote, a senior Hamas official has called for an immediate end to Israel's war against the group in Gaza Strip and a plan to achieve Palestinian statehood in remarks shared with Newsweek in the wake of former President Donald Trump's election victory. Quote, the election of Trump as the 47th president of the U.S. is a private matter for the Americans, Hamas political bureau member and spokesperson told Newsweek, but Palestinians look forward to an immediate cessation of the aggression against our people, especially in Gaza, and look for assistance in achieving their legitimate rights of freedom, independence, this is all going to be important, and the establishment of their independent self-sovereign state with Jerusalem as the capital. Whoa. Stop. Again, this is a senior Hamas official who has stated once Trump won the election, he has now called for an immediate end to Israel's war against the group in Gaza and the Gaza Strip, and is looking forward to the establishment of their independent self-sovereign state with Jerusalem as their capital. Now, guys, listen to me. This raises concern. Now, we know that, and again, when I start going on this path, once I start going on this, I know how people are, and they're going to immediately start saying that Trump is the Antichrist. But I want you to pump the brakes and hear me out for a minute. Number one, I do not believe that Donald Trump is the Antichrist. He meets none of the criteria nor qualifications for it, according to the Bible, not me, but according to the Bible. Number one, again, the Bible is not centered around America and the White House in regards to Bible prophecy. It's centered around the Middle East. It's centered around the Mediterranean Sea Basin area and what's called ancient Babylon, which consisted of Lebanon, Syria, and Iraq. All of those areas are influential according to all the Bible prophets. The two main ones are Daniel and John. Daniel saw seven empires of Bible prophecy. John saw eight, eight being the kingdom of the Antichrist. The next point I want to point out is the Antichrist is not just going to pop up like a jack-in-the-box if you crank the handle hard enough that he's just going to pop up in the White House or the Oval Office. Or in England. No, according to the book of Daniel and John, there is going to be 10 kingdoms and 10 that they will, there'll be 10 kingdoms controlled by 10 kings. This is mentioned again in the visions of Nebuchadnezzar, in which Daniel interpreted. And John said this in Revelation 17. There will be 10 kings and 10 kingdoms that will be given over to the Antichrist in 1 hour's time. And the watch this, the 10 kings and kingdoms are established in the earth, and then the little horn, aka Antichrist, rises up among them and plucks up three of the 10 immediately when he rises to power. He starts out with a small army, but becomes great. And the three that he uproots is, according to the book of Daniel, Egypt, Libya, and Ethiopia. Again, friends, I'm telling you, Donald Trump does not meet this criteria. He is not the Antichrist. However, I believe, listen to me, that, again, we've stated this, that this man was supernaturally spared for such a time as this. Now, I know all the Christians, which that's our audience, believe that God has raised him up to bring a reprieve from judgment to America. I agree, because the shedding of innocent blood brings the judgment of God. The shedding of innocent blood, howbeit through the killing of the unborn or the slaying of the prophets, go to the Bible. When the blood was shed innocently like this, it brought a curse on cities. And I believe America has experienced these curses for a long time since Roe v. Wade was established. And there's been millions of unborn taken before their time. And again, God is not silent on that. And that's why there's been selective judgments that has hit the earth. The earth too, but hit America. Now that, and again, this other administration, Kamala Harris's administration, if they would have won the election, they were going to try to overturn what the Supreme Court put in motion to, again, undo Roe v. Wade. So it would have been absolutely catastrophic for America. So I agree that a reprieve and an open window of grace has been granted to America. But meanwhile, I believe Donald Trump is also a vessel in the hands of God. Oh, you don't want me to go. How deep you want me to go with this? Do you know the Bible called Nebuchadnezzar, God called Nebuchadnezzar a ungodly, this is a guy by all qualifications, he was evil, ungodly, and was and did not serve the Lord in the beginning. But God called him Nebuchadnezzar, my servant. Pharaoh did not know the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. He served many gods. But yet God spoke to him through a dream. Potiphar's wife was not serving God, but God spoke to her in a dream and warned her and troubled her about the trial of Jesus Christ. I can go on and on and on and show you guys where ungodly, unregenerated, good grief, men and women who don't have a covenant with God, don't serve God, God spoke to them through dreams, visions, and circumstances and warned them. God can use whomever he wills and wants it anytime he wants to. So I believe that Donald Trump is a servant and a vessel that God will use. Watch this. If we're truly in the last days, which I concur that everyone here would probably agree with, God is going to use Donald Trump to thrust us into furthering the direction of Bible prophecy. Now, how's he going to do this, Brother Ricky? I believe that I will not be, listen to me, don't be surprised if we see the expansion of the Abraham Accords. Translation, don't be surprised if you continually see more peace negotiations in the Middle East and with Arab nations. Why is that? Why are you saying that? I'm saying that because Daniel 9:27. Let me pull it up. You've heard me repeat this many times, but I understand that people don't catch it the first time, or we got new subscribers, or we get new people in here. In Daniel 9:27, Daniel the prophet was given the ability to see into the future. He was called what we would call a seer, and he saw into the future. And he saw that the day would come when there would be a man that would rise to power, aka the Antichrist. And this man would, and I pulled this up right here in the New King James, or excuse me, in the King James. For all of you guys that love King James, here it is. And this man, the Antichrist, Daniel 9:27, will confirm. Somebody say, somebody type in confirm in the chat. This word confirm means he will come along and affirm or solidify something that's already put in place. It didn't say he will establish or he will create. No, he will confirm something that's already there. What is it? What does he confirm? What does he affirm? What does he solidify? Well, Daniel says it will be a covenant with many, and that is many nations, for and your Bible says 1 week, but in Hebrew it is 7 years. This is where we get the 7-year tribulation. But in the midst of the 7 years, that would be 42 months or 3.5 years, he breaks this treaty. And he works with the false prophet. You can find this in Revelation 13, 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. And then in the book of Matthew, he sets up a image of the beast at the pinnacle of the temple. And when the Jews see this, they will freak out and they will flee because it's idolatry. And it's an abomination to them. It's an abomination that makes Jerusalem desolate. So this is when he really, truly he will reveal his true identity to the world. Now, we as believers, I believe, now again, I know everybody's theology is different here, but I believe that we'll be gone. I believe the church will be gone because I believe that in order for the Antichrist to be fully made manifest, the restrainer has to be removed. And I understand that different people have different views of what the restrainer is, but I've always said, and I believe from all the studies I've done, that the restrainer is the church. And when the church is removed, the restrainer is removed, or the restrainer is no longer there, and thus the man of sin is made manifest. And then the Bible says he deceives the whole world because they love not the truth with lying signs and wonders. And if it were possible, even the very elect would be deceived. But let me get back to this. So we've established from this right here, guys, that before the Antichrist comes on the scene to affirm or solidify a treaty with many nations and Israel for a period of 7 years, there has to be a series of treaties already put in place. There has to be a blueprint and a foundation already put in place. So that's where I believe with all my heart, guys, that's where Trump will put up, that's where he's going to come into play. So when you start seeing these headlines, like we're showing you today, where Hamas is coming out saying, you know, we're ready for peace, we're ready for a Palestinian state. And then you've got the Arab leaders, you've got Saudi Arabia coming forward, you got the Abraham Accords coming. When you start seeing all this stuff, this doesn't trouble me, because my perspective is not that he's the Antichrist. My perspective is, look out, God's using this man to establish these covenants and these treaties. He's paving the way for the future Antichrist to come along and just affirm something that's already established. So this doesn't really shake me so much. It only affirms what I've already suspected and what I believe, how God's using this man, one of many ways. Okay, good and bad. It depends on what your perspective is on this. But let me show you this. But here's what really, if anything would keep me up at night, it would be this right here. Remember, the senior Hamas official wants the establishment of their independent self-sovereign state with Jerusalem as its capital. Now, you and I both know in order to achieve this means that Jerusalem will have to be divided. Now, if you didn't catch last night's podcast, our 8 p.m. Eastern podcast, there is coming what's called a judgment of the nations. Matthew 25 points this out. And in Joel 3, and Zechariah 14 and Zechariah 12, and in Revelation 19, it all tells you how those nations will be judged. And if you read in Matthew 25 and Joel 3, it tells you why they'll be judged. Those nations of the world will be judged on the account of how they, watch this, how they treated the people of the nations, the poor, the needy, the widow, the orphans. And as much as you did this unto them, you did it unto me. But if you didn't do it unto them, you didn't do it unto me. You read that in Matthew 25. And then in Joel 3, Joel makes it known that God will gather the nations of the world who have divided Jerusalem, and he will enter into judgment with them. And the way he's going to do that is through the war of Armageddon. So this is what's got me concerned. If I was going to lose sleep over anything, guys, it's the possibility that, and this is why we need to pray for Donald Trump, that of all of his spiritual advisors, and we know Paula White is one of them, and I'm not a personal fan of Paula White. I don't know her stance on Israel. I don't know her stance on Bible prophecy. I've never heard her talk about Bible prophecy, and you probably won't hear that. But I am praying of all those spiritual advisors that there is at least one watchman that understands the magnitude of the ramifications of any nation, howbeit America and an American president dividing Jerusalem, and what the consequences that would bring to America. I pray and hope that somebody can get to this man and warn him, don't, whatever you do, you can do these Abraham Accords, you could try to bring peace, all this, but if it's in the name of dividing Jerusalem, you need to say, no, don't do that, because that would be absolutely catastrophic for our nation. Now, let me shift gears here, and I want to talk about this man, again, as I said in the beginning, this man shakes up the globalists. They don't like him. That's why all of these globalists cannot stand this man, because he doesn't go along with the globalists. Now, I know some people, you're going to disagree with me because you call him a globalist, but I don't think that's the case, because this man has already said he's going to shake up the establishment. Let me show you some examples. And again, we're talking about everything from oil. We're talking about economic trade. We've already got the president of China that's already warning about trade wars, economic trade wars. But then look at this headline. All right, quote, Trump says there's no price tag for his mass deportation plan. President-elect Donald Trump told NBC News that one of his first priorities upon taking office in January would be to make the border, quote, strong and powerful. When questioned about his campaign promise of mass deportation, Trump said his administration would have, quote, no choice but to carry them out. Trump said he considers his sweeping victory over Vice President Harris a mandate to bring common sense to the country. Quote, we obviously have to make the border strong and powerful, and we have to, at the same time, we want people to come into our country, he said. And you know, I'm not somebody that says, no, you can't come in. We want people to come in, end quote. Quote, as a candidate, Trump had repeatedly vowed to carry out the largest deportation effort in American history. When asked about the cost of his plan, he said, quote, it's not a question of a price tag. It's not really. We have no choice. When people have been killed and murdered, when drug lords have destroyed countries, and now they're going to go back to those countries because they're not staying there, there is no price tag. Quote, it is unclear how many undocumented immigrants there are in the U.S., but acting ICE director told NBC News in July that a mass deportation effort would be a huge logistical and financial challenge. Now, guys, again, remember, Elon Musk talked about the consequences economically once Trump takes office. That would be, he's saying that it would be a short-term bump in the road. But I want to talk about, again, not everybody is excited about this, okay? So there's going to be a lot of opposing voices against this. Again, opposition, all right? Then even... guys, even the FDA is now in the crosshairs. And I'm going to tell you, let me just show you this article and I'll tell you what I'm talking about here. All right, look at this. RFK Jr. says he would clear out entire departments at the FDA. All right, Robert F. Kennedy Jr. said he would clear out entire departments at the Food and Drug Administration during an interview on Wednesday previewing his plans in the upcoming Trump administration. Quote, there are entire departments like the nutrition department at FDA that have to go, that they are not doing their job, he said in an interview with NBC News on Wednesday. He went further and said, quote, they're not protecting our kids. Why do we have Fruit Loops in this country that have 18 or 19 ingredients and you go to Canada and it's got two or three? He said he would not eliminate agencies if it required congressional approval, but pledged to get the, quote, corruption out of the agencies. He went on further and said that President Donald Trump wants him to do three specific things. One, clean up the corruption of the agencies, particularly the conflicts of interest that have turned those agencies into captive agencies for the pharmaceutical industry, and the other, the food industry, the other industries that are supposed to be regulating, he said. Number two, return those agencies to the gold standard, science, empirically based, evidence-based medicine that we're famous for when I was a kid. Guys, listen to me. I know I haven't got to the number three yet, but I just want to interject this and say this. Do you realize how much money is involved in the pharmaceutical industry that benefits and profits off of us being sick? I've said this for years. Listen, I have a leg to stand on because I have family that are in the health and medical departments. They deal with this stuff. And I'm telling you that even in nursing, nurses will tell you, and if you're a nurse, you're in the medical field of any sort or any fashion, let us know in the comment section below. Hit yes. Tell me this is not a fact. Prove me wrong. When you went to nursing school, how much of your education was based on nutrition versus, watch this, pharmaceutical? Because you know why? And I'm telling you, your answer is going to be bar none, very little in nutrition, but great on pharmaceutical use. Why? Because the system, the corrupt system that we're talking about here, they want you, they don't want you dead because you can't profit off dead people. They want you to remain well enough, or should I say, I should revert that. I should say they want you sick enough that you are a returning customer, but they want you well enough that you don't die. Because again, you can't profit off dead people. This is why if you go to the doctor to see a doctor about a about an illness, an infirmity, a sickness, a disease, most of these doctors, they don't want to hear, if you bring up holistic options, if you bring up health and nutrition, it's going to go over like a lead balloon. What they're going to do, they've already made up their mind. They're going to write you a script and push pharmaceuticals to you again, because they don't make money off of you getting healthier. Oh, come on, somebody. Listen, I know for a fact, because I've walked this, I've seen it with my own eyes. And many of you people have been victims of this nonsense. I had to research and study all kinds of things about this particular category. And listen, I wish I'd have known this information years ago. Oh, we could go on and on and on, guys, about this stuff. Many of you guys are plagued with illnesses and diseases that's been brought upon you through, again, this corrupt healthcare system, the pharmaceutical industry, and the disgusting foods that are poisoning us. All right, number three, to make America end the chronic disease epidemic. And President Trump has told me, again, this is Robert F. Kennedy. This is RFK Jr. is making this statement, saying that he told me that he wants to see, quote, measurable concrete results within 2 years in terms of a measurable diminishment in chronic disease among America's kids. Listen, I'm all for this. This would be amazing and great, but don't miss the point I'm making. The forces that this administration is coming against are very powerful entities, very, very powerful organizations, elites, and corrupt individuals at the highest places of offices. And you wonder why, guys, that this man is targeted and hated so much. All right, this just came over the wire today. Iranian asset charged in plot to assassinate Trump. This is according to the Department of Justice. All right, quote, the Justice Department says that it has thwarted an Iranian plot to kill Trump in the weeks leading up to the election. A criminal complaint filed in the federal court in New York City says an unnamed official in Iran's Islamic Revolutionary Guard Corps has asked this individual, 51 years of age, of Iran in September to, quote, focus on surveilling and ultimately taking him out. Quote, there are a few actors in the world that pose as grave a threat to the national security of the U.S. as Iran. Again, the Justice Department is charged an asset of the Iranian regime who was tasked by the regime to direct a network of criminal associates to further Iran's attempts to and plots to eliminate the president again against its targets, including President Trump. And again, this is all the paperwork right here. You can, all this is on foxnews.com. Reading on, we've also charged and arrested two individuals who we allege were recruited as part of this network to silence and kill on U.S. soil an American journalist who has been a prominent critic of the regime. And, quote, we will not stand for the Iranian regime's attempts to endanger the American people and America's national security. Now, the Justice Department says that this Shakiri individual remains at large and is believed to be living in Iran. He immigrated to the U.S. as a child and was deported in or about 2008 after serving 14 years in prison for a robbery conviction. Shaqiri has informed law enforcement that he was tasked on October 7th of last month with providing a plan to eliminate Trump. According to Shaqiri, during his meeting with IRGC official -I on or about October 7, 2024, the official directed Shaqiri to provide a plan within 7 days to eliminate victim-4. If Shaqiri was unable to put forth a plan within the time frame, the IRGC official -I continued, the IRGC would pause its plan to again eliminate the victim after the U.S. presidential elections, because the assessed that victim 4 would lose the election, and afterward it would be easier to terminate him. Now again, this was thwarted by the Department of Justice, but it also threw a wrench in their plans because Trump actually won the election. So now he's going to get far more security to protect him. So guys, we've got, if you're like me, my head is spinning from all this. There is so much going on, and I believe it has major prophetic implications. So again, let's recap this really quick. Here is Donald Trump, who has now been elected as president, 47th president of the United States. He's shaken up the global scene. This is good and bad. Some leaders embrace it and praise it, and others frown upon it. There has been warnings. There's been threats. There's been attempts, more attempts on his life, more threats upon his life. He is he's shaking up the global system, everything from the FDA. He's shaking up the borders. He's shaking up the economics, the trading. And again, do not be surprised, guys, if this man is a vessel in the hands of God to go forth and to establish treaties in Arab nations with the nation of Israel, which is all going to set the stage for, again, later on in Bible prophecy to be fulfilled. And again, I remind you, look at the alliances forming as well. Look, we need to be watching for these things. Iran and Russia and Turkey, there's an alliance that's straight out of Ezekiel 38, 39. Another thing that we need to be paying attention to is watching the 10 kingdoms. Who are these 10 kingdoms with these 10 kings, according to Revelation 17, that are going to form and be created? And once they're established in the earth, and we know this for a fact, then it's time to watch out, because that little horn will rise up among them and come to power and form the eighth and final empire of Bible prophecy that John called the kingdom of the beast. So listen, endtimeheadlines.org, endtimeheadlines.com. Guys, thank you so much for coming on tonight. We appreciate your support. Again, if you've not downloaded our free app, it is available for free. It's on Apple and Android devices. Pick it up today. Hit yes to push notifications. You're going to get every podcast like this, every headline, every breaking news alert, every prophecy viewpoint. Everything's going to be right at your fingertips. Again, help us out. Hit that like button. Hit that subscribe button. Hit that bell notification. That's going to be beneficial to you and us, keeping getting the word out there, getting on these algorithms. And of course, guys, if you find value in this content, you're blessed by it, you're blessed by our ministry, we always want to invite you to pray about becoming a monthly partner. And you can do that two ways, electronically or by check or money order. If you wish to give electronically, there's the app, there's the website, there's at the top of the YouTube in the chat and on the comment section, you'll see support in big bold letters. You can click the link there. If you wish to give by check or money order, right there on your screen, you can make it out to End Time Headlines, P.O. Box 1391, Monroe, Georgia, 30655. So, guys, we're going to sign off for tonight. I don't know if we'll be here on the weekend. If not, again, we'll be right back here Monday afternoon at 2 p.m. Eastern for our midday podcast. And then we'll be back here at 8 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Central for our normal Monday night prayer. Again, it's every Monday night, 8 p.m. Eastern. If you guys are listening by Apple, Spotify, Rumble, Instagram, Twitter, Facebook, we need you to subscribe to our YouTube channel, because this is where we're going to meet and this is where we're going to have these prayer meetings. So we can't wait to be with you guys on Monday. Until then, may you guys have a great and blessed weekend. Be safe and may God be with you. We'll see you then.
Thank you for listening to the End Time Headlines podcast. We pray that you've been blessed and equipped by today's message. For more information about how you can help partner with our ministry, please visit endtimeheadlines.org.